In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
Nothing without you, without you, you are the air that we breathe, and we can't live without you, without you, in you we live and move and open your mouth and just bless the Lord. Open your mouth and worship him in your own words. Beyond a song, tell him what it means to you. Beyond a song, tell him what it means to you. Open your mouth and magnify him. Open your mouth and reverence him. Give him the praise that he deserves. You are live and move and have mine, and nothing without you. This house, we are nothing without you, for you are the very air that we breathe. As a people, we can't live without you. We cannot live without you. And you really will move and have a being. Just keep playing, son. Thank you, Jesus. I just want you to experience his presence. Keep playing. I just want you to experience his presence. I'm not necessarily ministering to anyone. I just want you to experience the flow of his presence. Please close your eyes, lift your hands. Worship is a culture in this house. Whilst the strings are playing, just soak. Allow the sounds with the atmosphere of heaven filter into your soul. And you are here. You are here. You are here. Sing it one more time. Lord, you are here. You are here. You are here. In this place. And we worship and adore your for the last time, let the congregation sing. You are here, sing. You are here. You are here. You are here. in this place, and we worship and adore your holy name. Jesus, we enthrone you. We bless you. We love you. We love you. We love you. We welcome your presence. We welcome your presence. In this place, and we worship and adore your home. Father, today we honor your presence. We acknowledge the fact that you are here with us, and we worship in the beauty of your holiness. Thank you, Jesus, for such an outpouring of your presence. Thank you for the atmosphere of heaven that is in this place, and even across the airwaves to those who are watching right now. Thank you. Thank you. Can you just feel that warmth of his presence? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you will do tonight. Continue with us in a mighty way. Transform us by the power of your word and by the ministry of your spirit, and may our lives never remain the same. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for such an atmosphere. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This place, and we worship and honor your home. Father, we give you thanks tonight. We receive your word with power and with grace. May our lives never be the same again. We go from glory to glory in your presence. Bless everyone, Lord. Let those who are sick be healed instantly. Let the oppressed be set free. Let the lost be saved. Let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's give the Lord a big hand and shout of praise. Maybe you can do that louder for him. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you happy to be in the presence of the Lord? Please shake the hands of those beside you. Welcome them to Pneumatech, including those who are watching online. Hallelujah. And take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Worship is a culture in this house, and so it's not abnormal when we give ample time to worship, especially when it is inspired and led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. A presence of God is the greatest asset any man can have, the presence of the Lord. In fact, the entire salvation experience is about restoring that presence to mankind. The presence of God transforms, it lifts, it heals, it delivers, it empowers, does everything. And so when we worship and sense the moving of the presence of the Holy Spirit, we just have to stay there Because in such moments, he does so much more than we can imagine. And I'm so grateful to God for lavishly pouring out his presence in this house. And I also want to say a big thank you to the worship team. Please give them a big God bless you. Such powerful ministrations. Amen. And during the course of the week, we had our father in Maiduguri. And amen. God's servant Apostle Jonathan Shokonya was with us. And how many of you were around yesterday? Oh, great. Amen. And he kept commending the worship team up until this morning. So let's give them a big God bless you again. Amen. So a big thank you to our music director and your team. Thank you for the great work you are doing. He kept talking about them again and again and again till we got to the hotel in the night, till this morning at the airport. Amen. Takes a lot to be able to lead the people of God in worship and host his presence. And I want you to keep doing what you are doing as the Lord increases you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So from me to you, I'm grateful. And one of these days I'll spoil you people. Amen. It's good I just say that to spoil, so that I didn't say exactly what I will do, so some people will not say amen. Praise the Lord. Can we get to the word now? I don't know what I will title what I want to share. Brief, and then we'll pray. As a matter of fact, from now till the end of this month, we're going to be teaching fundamental truths that are necessary to strengthen and establish your faith. I want you to know that knowledge is a very important investment as far as the race of life and destiny is concerned. And the most optimal knowledge that you should invest in is the knowledge of God. And you cannot know God outside of his word. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I say to you as a student of the word of God, and I say to you as one that God has raised to a level, as one who has grown spiritually to a level, I know how God changes men. I know how God builds men. And that's why, beyond being a pastor of this house, I am happy for this house that we have a teaching priest. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Without the word of God, it will just be witchcraft. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Good. So I am happy. I'm happy for us that every week we get to hear the rich, unadulterated, revealed word of God. And you may not be able to track your growth now, but give yourself time. Slowly but surely, God is changing your mindset. God is awakening new kinds of consciousness in you. And the life of God is beginning to take form inside of you because of the knowledge of the word of God that you are accessing part-time. And so I'm grateful to God that he has given us the revelation and the wisdom of his word. And I want us to treasure that. In addition to the presence of God, that's the greatest gift we have. Are you hearing me? Miracles will come and go, but the word of God abides forever. Amen and amen. So, we'll start a series today and then finish it next week. Today is the part one. But I don't know what to call this teaching. So, I'll give you three options. And then the one you choose is the one you write as the topic. Amen. Option A, redemption. Option B, the redemption story. Option C, redeemed. But one thing we'll all write in bracket is the believer's heritage. That's part one. The believer's heritage. Redemption. The believer's heritage. So for those of you that want to write redemption as the main topic, That's your choice. You want to write the redemption story? That's also your choice. You want to write redeemed? That is also your choice. Somebody say, Apostle, why don't you just make it easy for us? Just give us anyone you want. You know, when you ask people, when you tell them to make a choice, they'll say any, they will throw the choice back to you. Anyone you want. Me too, I'm throwing it back to you. Anyone you want. Amen. But one thing we are all going to write in bracket is the believer's heritage. Today is the part one. Next week, we'll do the part two. We'll talk about, okay, let me leave that for next week if I tell you. So let me just leave it for next week. Amen. And I'm going to be very simple and practical, but for many of us who have been Christians for a long time, and the foundation of your faith was not well entrenched in the Word of God, this is a crash program for you. For many of you who got born again and didn't have the opportunity to go through discipleship trainings and all of these fundamental trainings in the doctrine of the Word of God. You know, Papa told us yesterday that doctrines apply to believers. There are teachings from the Word of God that applies to believers, but principles can apply to everybody. So there is a curriculum as to how you train a believer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When a believer gets born again, you don't just carry the Bible and pick from anywhere. No. It will hurt the faith of that person. There are things they should know from the beginning. There are things they will want to know that they shouldn't know at the beginning. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can't get a believer born again and start talking to him about power. No. First of all, he needs an identity reset. So the doctrine of the Word of God that you will need to feed him at new birth will be everything that pertains to his identity in Christ. I've told you, I think last year I repeated it, that when you become born again, there are three important basic things that you must know as a child of God. You must know it. They are not electives. They are compulsory subjects. If you don't know these three things, your faith will be shaky. You will not be a strong Christian. You will not be able to defend the faith of Christianity that you profess. What are these three things? Number one, you must know who you now are in Christ. Because if any man be in Christ, he is a... So you need to understand the new that has happened to you first. Otherwise, you will live in Christ as an unbeliever. Are you seeing that? Number two, you need to know who Christ or God is, the one who has begotten you. Number one, you need to know who you now are in Christ. Number two, you need to know who God is, the God that you are serving now. And then number three, you need to know who Christ is in you. You know, the Bible usually plays with these phrases, Christ in you and you in Christ. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. And then there's also Christ being in you. Those are two different aspects. Amen. That's why you must submit to concrete teaching of the Word of God. I'm telling you the truth. Otherwise, when it comes to manifesting your faith, you will find a lot of lapses because there's a knowledge gap. Okay? So you must know, number one, who you are in Christ. Number two, who Christ or God is. And then number three, who Christ is in you. Fundamental. The teachings you receive must revolve around this. After this, you can start receiving other things and then growing. Imagine a believer who wants to know about the prophetic when they are not even up to 6 months old. See, that's why there are manifestations that will happen in your life and God will not explain at a point. Because the explanation, as good as that knowledge is not needed for you then. It will confuse you. There are other things you will need to know. That's why there are visions and dreams you are having now that God is not bothered about explaining. And every time you see God silent at certain things happening in your life, just follow and keep quiet. If you know He's aware and He's silent, just you two remain quiet. He knows. Those experiences will remain there, but then God will tilt you towards knowing the basics of your faith. When you have grown, through the knowledge of the word of God in these basics, God will now return back to those experiences, and that explaining them will now make sense to you. If for nothing, I thank God that my growth as a Christian was balanced. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes, sir. God will not make me stand before you if I didn't grow well. Trust me. There were things I was experiencing at the foundation that God didn't bother to explain. If I remember when I started my journey with the Lord, I had some other friends that we were together, and these guys were manifesting the gifts of the Spirit. I was the only one that didn't have any gifts. Amen. And you know, for a young person, it can be troubling because inferiority complex will be there and all. And sometimes I even tried to manifest their gifts and it didn't work. So I faced my front and continued. Every time we go to pray, this one will prophesy, this one will see a vision, this one will see, save me. But all I knew I had that time was the word. Anytime I opened the Bible, it just comes, understanding. You know what? Years later, none of them are where I am. There was something different about my life. God knew I just didn't need gifts. He was training me to become a trainer of trainers. So forget about all those experiences that you want to have because you want somebody to know that you are. Build your confidence as a child of God in the understanding of your identity, not in the manifestation of gifts. So those years, the gifts didn't come. But I kept growing in the word of God, in the doctrine of the faith, the doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of holiness, righteousness, all of these things. I was grounded in it. And then a season came when those gifts were manifesting. It came on me. And then here was the difference. My own manifestation became more matured. Why? Because the word of God, which is elementary, was at the background. Please, I want you to covet earnestly the ministry of the word of God. I'm telling you the truth. Your growth in this kingdom is based on one thing and one thing alone, the word of God. Amen? And allow God to mature you. What I'm sharing with you now happened like 12, 14 years ago. I didn't even know that time I was going to be who I am today. Amen? If I knew that time, I would have told God, take away all the gifts. Let me just focus. But we thank the Lord for where we are. And that's how God is growing and raising mighty men in this house. In the name of Jesus Christ. Some of you, when you have grown and matured, God will use you to pastor several congregations. God will use you to champion the cause of the gospel across the nations. Why? Because you are matured. He says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for reproof and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. God is perfecting us in this house. Somebody say amen to that. So let's get to the word. Redemption. Psalms 107 and verse 2. Psalms 107 and verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he had redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let's read it together at the count of three. One, two, three. Let the redeemed of the Lord, whom he had. Put your hand on your chest and say, I am the redeemed. Do you have the I am confession? I will need a list. I will need to see it so we can. We'll take that confession at the end of this teaching and then we'll pray. But in the I am confession, there's a place where we say, I am the redeemed of the Lord. Today you will understand in full details what it means to be redeemed and what redemption was all about. And better appreciate your salvation experience. Psalms 106 verse 8 to 10. Psalms 106 and verse 8 to 10. Let's go back to New King James now. Old King James was Papa. Me, I'm the latter in New King James. Amen. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake. that he might make his mighty power known. Let's continue. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. Verse 10. He saved them from the hand of him who hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. God has redeemed you from the hand of the enemy. Amen. Say better amen to that.
Amen.
The Bible says he redeemed them by his great power. That's what we read in Psalms 106. He redeemed them how? By his great power. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 10. Oh, just for understanding purpose, go back to verse 10 of Psalms 106. For those who are following me. Bible tells us that he redeemed them. Psalms 106 verse 10. Sorry, we are going to do a lot of scriptures. So I want whoever is there to be as smart and as anointed as possible. It says, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. How did he redeem them? Firstly, he redeemed them by his great power. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 10. Another scripture that references that. It says, now these are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your what? Great power and by your strong hand. How did he redeem them? Number 2, he redeemed them because he loved them. Deuteronomy 7 verse 8. Number 1, we saw that he redeemed them by his great power. Number 2, we saw that he redeemed them because he loved them. It says, but because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage. Of course, all the scriptures we have read so far talks about the deliverance of Israel from Egypt, which is a popular story that any one of us who is conversant with the Bible knows. After 430 years, God brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt. He redeemed them. Pharaoh would not let them go. And so God, by a manifestation of his great power, he redeemed them. He brought them out. And he brought them out because he loved them. The same way God brought them out of Egypt is the same way God in Christ Jesus has brought us out of sin. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So these are parallels. In the Old Testament, God brought them out of Egypt, which represented bondage. In the New Testament, we, in Christ Jesus, have been redeemed from sin. Just like Egypt was a bondage to them, sin is a bondage to humankind. Are you seeing the parallel? And for those of you who are interested in knowledge, let's go a little further. God brought them out of bondage, Egypt, and he took them to the promised land. He promised them rest in the promised land, isn't it? The land of Canaan. For us New Testament believers, our promise is not a land. It's not a place, no. Our promise is a person. That person is Christ, and he lives in us by the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that? So for them, God brought them out of Egypt. For us, he brought us out of sin. For them, God took them into the promised land. For us, God has given us the promise in Christ, which is the Holy Spirit. So Canaan was their rest. For us, Christ is our rest. This is a parallel between the Old and the New Testament. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We're talking about redemption. Isaiah 43 from verse 1. Isaiah 43 from verse 1. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. Oh, I like that he used a past tense. He said, for I have what? Redeemed you. Even though redemption was not perfected as at this time. Why? Because in the Old Testament, the provision for the atonement of sin was not fully made. So God had to create a system that will keep them away from the guilt of sin, pending when God's ultimate plan of redemption for mankind will manifest. Let me explain in simple terms. When you get back home and you are hungry, and then they tell you the food is still on fire, how do you feel? That's when you want to devour, isn't it? And I don't know if you are like me, when I'm hungry is when I can eat. Once it passed that time, you bring the food, I won't eat again. So catch me when I'm hungry. Amen. If I'm hungry and you bring that food. But most of the times, 99% of the time, the food doesn't always arrive when I'm hungry. It arrives when I'm no longer, so I don't eat much. So since the food is still on the fire, what do? Keep crying for hunger? No. There has to be something, an appetizer. Right? Some of you have junks that you have kept in your house. You ching ching and then some of you are eating granite till it's growing out of your face now. Amen. So all of those makeshift arrangement is there to calm your stomach until the main meal arrives. Unfortunately, some of us are good eaters. You will so consume that makeshift arrangement. When the food arrives, there's no longer, the Bible says, remember now your creator in the days of your youth, so that when the evil days shall come, your own evil days have come. So the makeshift arrangement, since Jesus was yet to come in the Old Testament, was that they will sacrifice animals and then the blood will be applied. That blood did not take away sin. That blood only took away the guilt of sin. That's why in Hebrews chapter 9, the Bible speaks about Christ purging our conscience. Where does guilt affect you? Is it not in your conscience? Good. So they did all those sacrifices just to take away the guilt of constantly breaking God's law. But God already had a perfect plan of redemption to restore mankind back to himself, to restore his presence, his life again into mankind. And that was finally fulfilled when Jesus came thousands of years later and died on the cross. The Bible calls him the perfect atonement. The Bible calls him the propitiation. In 1 John chapter 2, that's the word the Bible used. The Bible calls him the propitiation. That word means the exchange, the atoning sacrifice. Everything about sin was dealt with when Jesus died on the cross. So that through him, not only is the guilt of sin taken away from us, but the very penalty of sin has been dealt with. And even the nature of sin has been subdued, because now we have the eternal life of God in Christ Jesus. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. And so every time you read about redemption or being redeemed in the Old Testament, it was forward looking of what God was going to eventually do in the redemption of mankind. Isaiah 44 verse 22. I'm just trying to create a background for the main teaching. Isaiah 44 verse 22. It says, I've blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Isaiah 62 verse 12. We're still talking about what it means to be redeemed. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you shall be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. These are all prophecies, you see, like this one. How that when Jesus dies years later, redemption will be available to mankind. So that's why Isaiah is prophesying it here. They shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. So it was a prophecy in the Old Testament, because Jesus had not come to perfect the redemption plan of God. But let's see New Testament scriptures where this prophecy is now fulfilled and we have now become beneficiaries to it. For instance, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. See, the last scripture we read, he said they shall call them the redeemed. Forward looking. But now it has happened already, so it's past tense. Christ has what? From the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Let's add verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And I told you that the blessing of Abraham, singular blessing, is different from the blessings of Abraham. The blessing, singular, of Abraham is not cow, is not goat, is not sheep. No. The blessing, singular, of Abraham is justification by faith. Somebody say justification by faith. That's why several scriptures will say that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The blessings, plural, of Abraham are now the material riches that we receive as a fringe benefit of our salvation in Christ. The main thing we received is that we have been justified. We have been declared not guilty. Sin has been dealt with. And now we have faith in Christ Jesus and we are accepted in God. Because of that, we can now receive other benefits like prosperity, like healing. But do you now see the reverse is the case? People pursue those things instead of the main thing that brings those things. Another scripture in the New Testament, 1 Peter. Okay, go back to the Isaiah. Then we'll come to 1 Peter. Isaiah 62 verse 12. Let's connect the scripture so that you can understand. You're getting blessed. Say amen. And today is a teaching service, okay? So relax and listen. Isaiah 62 12. Then we'll go to 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. Maybe I'll just read from my tablet here. Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 12. Then we'll go to 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. It says, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Now, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Now, Isaiah says, they shall call them the redeemed of the Lord. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. Now that Jesus has died and redemption has been achieved. He says, but you are a what? Talk to me. You are a what? A what? A what? And the next one, a what? Remember in Isaiah where we are just coming from, he said they shall call them a holy people. Now the Bible says you are what? A holy nation. Not you will be, you are in Christ Jesus. All of that made available because of redemption. To understand what redemption really is, let me define a few words for you. First, let's define the word redeem. The topic is the redemption story or redemption or redeemed. So let's understand it better. The word redeem, I got this from the Cambridge Dictionary. You'll be amazed that even Cambridge acknowledges what I'm about to read for you. The word redeem means to buy back, to recover, exchange for value, fulfill a promise, or save from sin. Let me say it again. Redeem means to buy back. Not redeem Christian Church of God. Redeem means to buy back, recover, exchange for value, fulfill a promise, or save from sin, to buy back, recover, exchange for value, fulfill a promise, or save from sin. That's what it means to be redeemed. When you say redeem means fulfill a promise, of course, you know, it's like a vow that you make or a promise you make and then you keep that promise. It means you have redeemed your vow or you have kept your promise. When we say redeem means to exchange for value, it means to buy something. Somebody wants to sell a phone and then you give an equivalent value in cash or in financial incentive to get that phone. Is that true? Somebody told me one time, he said, why I like buying gold is so that when I'm broke, I can sell it. I said, oh, you have plans to be broke. No problem. Continue. You have calculated that somewhere, someday, somehow, you will be broke. So they are justified enough to buy the gold. Amen? When we say redeem means to buy back, something was sold and then is resold. When we say redeem means to recover, it means to restore the salvage value of that thing, which I will explain. When redeem means to recover, it means to restore the salvage value. What does it mean to restore the salvage value of a product or a material? This is basic agriculture, actually. If you did agri in secondary school, who never go secondary school here? Everybody, ba? Good. So I'm not speaking Chinese. I'm speaking very simple things. Those that have not gone to secondary school, they are in children department there. So let's talk about salvage value. Salvage value is the estimated cash amount. Let me read it first and then I'll take it gradually for everybody to write. Salvage value is the estimated cash amount a company expects to get when selling an asset at the end of its useful life. So let's say an organization came to Maiduguri and after a couple of years they are leaving. And they are disposing of some of their, what you called it, items, isn't it? They are disposing their generators, their air conditions. What again? Huh? Huh? Their cars. Some of you don't want to talk. I hope you didn't steal from your organization when they were doing auction. Amen? Because silence in the presence of God from God's people is questionable. Sometimes when people are quiet, they may just be complicit. When you are the head of logistics and then they are auctioning 6 AC, you carry 3, keep somewhere. And then overflate the price of the remaining 3 to recover back. You are redeeming, you are buying back. Amen. May God not help you to enter that place in life in Jesus' name. So salvage value is the estimated cash amount a company expects to get when selling an asset at the end of its useful life. So you want to write it down now. Salvage value is the estimated cash amount. The estimated cash amount a company expects to get when selling an asset. Salvage value is the estimated cash amount a company expects to get when selling an asset at the end of its useful life. Amen. Sorry you have to write for long. Some of you hate writing, hate dictation. Once they start, you just stop writing. So I'll watch it online. I don't know how you survived school. Salvage value is the estimated cash amount a company expects to get when selling an asset at the end of its useful life. So we are trying to explain what redeem is. Redeem means to restore the salvage value of a thing. So instead of that thing just rotting in there and just thrown away or destroyed. Somebody can decide to buy it so that it can still have some value. The payment that person makes for that item is the restoration of the value. He has given value to that thing. So instead of just throwing away the air conditioner, somebody decides to buy it. You know, when you use an air conditioner for a while, you want to just dispose it of. To you, it is of less value. But somebody pays for it, and that payment restores value to that product. And so it can still be used because it now has value. Brothers and sisters, that is the concept of redemption. God restored our salvage value. Sin made us valueless. They could sell you for nothing. For the wages of sin is what? Death. First, death as in separation from God. You know what I'm saying? Then death, which is obvious deterioration to extinction. That's why when you become born again, you don't give your life to Christ. No, that's not the right language. But we say it because we are used to it. As a sinner, which life you want to give God? Of what quality is your life as a sinner? Nothing before God. So, when you get born again, you don't give your life to Christ. No, you receive the life of Christ. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is a gift. You receive it. Is eternal life. Because as far as God is concerned, as a sinner, the person doesn't even have life. Because what God is seeing when he looks at a sinner is death. Eventually, you are already separated from me. There's no connection between me and you. Eventually, you'll go into extinction and into eternal condemnation. So there's no value to that individual. Are you seeing that? That is the reason why when you become born again, God secures you. He has redeemed you. And he puts his spirit in you. Just like when you buy something and then you write your name on top. Those days when we're in secondary school, you write your name. I knew that there was a boy. He should be a father now. You know, because this is like 15, 17 years ago or so. 20 years ago or so now. He used to write his name everywhere. Everywhere. Even on his sandals, he write his name. Right. Even on his uniform, he write the name. When you take, because I went to a Navy school. So, you know, they had sailors. Naval sailors have this cape at the back. When you at the back, you see his full name there. Prrr. In fact, there was one of his, I don't know what it was, but he wrote, I think it was his cabin biscuit or something. He wrote his name and wrote, "Do not touch, do not steal." They stole it. He has forgotten that, what the value of the biscuit is, what is inside, not the packet. And then finished it and left the packet outside. When we came out the next day to do clean ship, he saw the packet there. "Do not steal" was still written there. Amen. So God sort of wrote his name on you when you became saved. Because you are now his. You are his product. He bought you back. He redeemed you. And he put his Holy Spirit in you. That's what the Bible says in Romans, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 and 14. 14, I believe. It says that he has sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise. Which is the, how did he put it? The redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. If I'm correct now. So he put his spirit in you. And that was how your value was restored. Now you are a child of God. You have been redeemed. You have been brought back. You have been given value. Your value is more than just that of a human being. You are a child of God. You are a son of God. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Do you know what that means? That means you are a lesser option to God. Yes, sir. You are now in the God class. That's what it means to be redeemed. Salvage value. Now, what does redemption mean? Redemption means the act of saving. The act of saving. God's salvation. The act of saving, clearing a debt, or buying something back. The act of saving, clearing a debt, or buying something back. So you see that the entire redemption story is about saving. God saving us. God saving us from evil. God saving us from sin. God delivering us from bondage. Spiritual bondage. Now, this spiritual bondage, of course, is sin. Let me tell you why sin is a bondage. First of all, when there is the nature and the presence of sin in a man, that man has no access to God. First of all, who is our salvation? That's bondage number one. Number two, when there is sin, every deposit of God in that individual, including that which was predestined, will not find expression in accordance to the purpose of God because of sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? Meaning the gifts that God has placed in that individual right from when they were in eternity before they came into time, it will not find concrete expression in accordance to God's purpose for that individual. Why? Because they are in sin. They are not connected to God. They are not connected to salvation. It's like buying a phone, and then it has the potentials for several applications, but you don't download those applications. And worse off, there's no internet connection. You have localized that phone, isn't it? That's what sin does. It localizes your humanity. In fact, it localizes the divinity in your humanity. Let's continue. Why is sin a bondage? Let me tell you, sin reduces the weight of your destiny as an individual. Yeah. Because of sin, there's no eternal life. And as such, there's no eternal value. So you are valueless. You are a human being. You are intelligent. Yes, you may even have skill. But sin living in you as a nature, and that you are not born again, has made it that your destiny now is meaningless before God. That's why Solomon wrote about vanity. And at the end of that book, what did he say? The whole duty of man is to what? Fear God and keep his commandment. The Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a what? Reproach. So sin is a bondage that redemption came to address. Redemption has brought us spiritual freedom. Somebody say spiritual freedom. Are you getting blessed at all? All right. As a believer, understanding the message of redemption helps in the following. As a believer, understanding the message of redemption helps in the following. Don't worry, we'll go back to scriptures again. Understanding the message of redemption as a believer helps in the following. Three benefits to understanding the message of redemption as a believer. Number one, it resolves the social problem of racism. It resolves the social problem of racism, segregation, and prejudice. It resolves the social problem of racism, segregation, and prejudice. What did I say? It resolves the social problem of what? Racism, segregation, and prejudice. And this is part of the ills in our social system and in our world today, isn't it? Yes. all kinds of discrimination, all kinds of segregation, people not looking as at themselves as fellow humans. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. It's a major societal problem. Redemption comes to resolve that problem. The reason why people steal the commonwealth of the masses and steal even what they don't need and are okay with an entire population living below the poverty line is because they lack the understanding of redemption. That person you want to suffer hunger, God sent his son to die for that person, to redeem that person. So that person is as important to God as you who is stealing the government money. When we have Christian politicians who are not properly taught and don't understand what redemption is, you will have a society of discrimination. You know, there are places in a city where they will not put up infrastructure. No road network, no primary health center there. Some basic infrastructure needed for the people to live. And when you ask why, they will say, the people here are not supporting our party. Redemption is stronger than party lines. Are you hearing what I'm saying? One of the greatest problems we are still having now, even in the 21st century, there is still racism. In case you don't know, ask footballers. Why does it seem... Okay, let me not go there. Because some of you like football. But you see it even in football. You see it in sports. Racism. So if you want to cure that problem, it is the message of redemption that must be understood. No matter the therapy you do, no matter the psychosocial support, no matter the training or awareness you create, see, the main thing that resolves the issue of racism, segregation, societal discrimination, prejudice, is the message of redemption. That man needs to understand that God died for all men so that all men can be redeemed. Revelation chapter 5 verse 9 to 10. Let's read scriptures now. Revelation 5, 9 to 10. Quickly, please. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of what? Every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Verse 10. He didn't just redeem us out of. He restored a value to us and have made us kings and priests. So when a man who has lived in poverty, transgenerational poverty, all his life, comes into the kingdom and is born again, this is the kind of message they should hear. That regardless of the transgenerational poverty of your father's house, you have been redeemed as a king and a priest. It affects positively the quality of their thinking and the quality of their living. Are you here at all? Otherwise, if that person is not taught the message of redemption, they'll be born again and all they'll be looking for is the next miracle God should do. But how about understanding that regardless of what you, the ills that you inherited biologically in Christ Jesus, you have the identity and the heritage of a king and a priest. And you need to understand who a king is to know that that's your identity. That's why the title of today's teaching is The Believer's Heritage. Imagine if tomorrow you get a call from a bank and you get there and from the gates everybody's treating you nicely. Maybe the same bank that you have entered before, and you understand. I remember I went to a bank in this country. I won't mention the name. But you know, in terms of position, the name tells it all for the bank. So smart people already understand. Big bank. And we stood on the line. This was years ago. You know, and it was just rowdy. Stood there for more than an hour. The line was not moving. Customers were angry. And then one man just shouted from behind, what is all this? Is this how you will suffer your customers? Are you the only bank in this country? Eh? I will remove my money from here. Guess what? He had a reply from the cashier, from what they call those people there. He got the reply there. Hey, okay, come, let's remove your money. Come and remove your money and go. How much is your money? I say, yeah. I just consoled myself that not deposit, the same account deposit. Abi, I go drop the money, go. And in fact, till tomorrow, if you mention that bank, something, chills enter my body. Because I can never forget that experience. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Then imagine you go back to that bank. And then the same security that told you to stand was you were making call. They came and touched you, say, hey, no call here. No. All of a sudden they welcome you, they take you upstairs, you are just passing everywhere, everybody's greeting you nicely. Then they take you to the manager's office. And the manager asks you, what would you like to have? I know what some of you will do. Long story short. The manager is telling you, well, do you know so-and-so person? And you really don't know, the name doesn't ring a bell, but they said, according to our documents here, this person is a relative of yours. In fact, your name is a next of kin. This person was a banker here for many years, and he left a fortune amassed up to 5 billion naira. Somebody say amen to that. Do you know what 5 billion is? Spend 1 million every day for the next 3 years. You have not even reached half. Calculate it. 1 million every day. 365 days. That's how much? 365 million. That's not even up to a billion. In 5 years, you've not spent 5 billion. If you spend 1 million a day. That's why it is sickening to me when some amongst our political class, they still, like even the devil who is called the thief has to take a PhD from them. Somebody told me one time that they were questioning a parliamentarian in this country, and he did a project. I can't even believe it. 3 kilometers of road for 700 billion. Did they say? I don't know who will be in charge in hellfire. Honestly, I'm not sure it's the devil. I'm really not sure. He has to hold an election fast. Because in Africa, hey, are you hearing me? No, I'm telling you the truth. When people are going to hell, because I won't go. But I would like to see what's happening there. I'm sure they will oust the devil from his position. Let's get back to our teaching. Understanding the message of redemption helps in the following. Number one, resolves the social problem of racism, segregation, and prejudice. Colossians 3 and verse 11. It makes you realize that every human is equal before God on account of redemption. And it makes you treasure and value human life. It says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew. Put it up for us quickly. Circumcised nor uncircumcised. Barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free. But what? Christ is all in. No segregation. Unfortunately, you go to a church and rich people one side, poor people the other side. No. Redemption tells you that all men have been equal before God. And all men are valuable before God. Hit your chest and say, I am valuable. I am valuable before God on account of redemption. Number two, understanding the message of redemption helps in the following. Number two, it helps in resolving the individual problem of identity crisis. It resolves the individual problem of identity crisis or identity insecurity. Number one, we said it resolves a social problem. Now, number two, it resolves an individual problem of what? Identity crisis and insecurity. You know, that was one of the greatest problems in our world today. That's the root of many problems. Identity crisis. Why is a man beating his wife? Identity crisis. When you trace it down. Yes, sir. Somebody told me this afternoon, and God punished the demon that is postulating that narrative. And that's what they say, of course, you know, on social media in Nigeria today. They say all men by nature are polygamous. God forbid. Men say God forbid. If you don't say God forbid, that means you truly accept. Is that true? Have you heard that before? That is the excuse for an immoral life, that all men by nature are polygamous. And then a mother is teaching the daughter how to tolerate the immorality of the man. Why? Because he's the odogwu of the house. It's identity crisis that makes you think all men are by nature polygamous. Identity crisis. That's the reason why many people are bullies. That's the reason why many people suffer depression. Identity crisis. There are many people, young people, who struggle to get their confidence in public. Why? There is a crisis about their identity. They don't know who they are. So they either conform to the opinion of other people. Their identity is borrowed identity. They are living to the standard or the identity created by other people's opinion. That's why I'm coming for you in Utah Flame. That's why somebody will go and do BBL. You think I don't know? I know. I'm a young person. I know what's happening. Is that not true? And if you are in this house, if I catch you, you that have plan to go and. Okay, let's assume there's nothing wrong with that. Let's assume. If it's a foolish assumption, actually. But let's just try entertain the foolish assumption that there's nothing wrong with that. Why do you need to do that? Because without that, you are not beautiful. Who told you beauty is judged only from a physical perspective? Identity crisis. Somebody say identity crisis. That is at the root of many. That's why politicians steal. Some, not all. There are some godly politicians, but there are some that are evil. You know, that evil, you don't spell it E-V-I-L. You spell it with U-U-U. Evil. Identity crisis. Somebody will steal $195 million and hide it in cash inside Sockaway. What is wrong with you? Why can't you go and invest it in Bitcoin or cryptocurrency or digital? So it will stay there and keep it. It's called blockchain. You will have it, the return continuous, or put it in stocks or bond. So that dollars will be there to your grandchild. And guess where he's putting it? Inside Sockaway. Identity crisis. There's something wrong about. So you think he's wealthy because he has money? No, he's not wealthy because he has money. Wealth starts from the mind. It's from the mind. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why a lady does not fancy praying about getting married. Why? Because for her, the richest guy that arrives first is the one I hook up to. Why? For security purposes. It's identity crisis. You are using an identity. What you are saying is that you are valueless. With all due respect, that's what you are saying. You are not productive. Nothing will ever come out of you. So latch on to somebody who will be making the money for you. That's what you are saying. Meanwhile, God created you differently. Go and read Proverbs 31. It talks about the woman, how that she trades with her hands and makes merchandise and sells them. Identity crisis. So the message of redemption resolves the individual problem of identity crisis. 1 John chapter 3 from verse 1 to 2. 1 John chapter 3 from verse 1 to 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called what? Children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us. No problem. Because it did not know him. Verse 2. Beloved, now are we children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So the next time they are looking for the image of God, tell them you are looking at the person. Do you know what it means to know that you are a child of God? Do you know the rights allocated to being a son of God? You don't even need to be an apostle to exhaust all the benefits that is connected to being a son of God. You know, people really don't understand the benefits of being a child of God and being born of God. And it's because basic teachings like this are not done in church. So an average Christian feels that if they are not a prophet or an apostle, they cannot command anything spiritually. Now lie. Being a child of God is enough. Because the spirit in you is the Holy Spirit. The same spirit in an apostle. A mature child of God can manifest the grace and the power of God more than an immature apostle. That's why when an apostle who is not a mature child of God becomes an apostle, or a pastor who is immature as a child of God, you will see it in how he does ministry. You will see it. He will feel easily intimidated. Are you seeing that? There will be manipulative tendencies because he did not go through the elementary school of knowing what it means to be a child of God. Revelations 1:6. Let's finish this number 2. Revelations 1:6. And has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. Has made us kings and priests to his God our Father. Ephesians 2 verse 13 to 16. This is a doctrinal teaching, so I'm going to do a lot of scriptures. If for nothing, at least some of you will get used to some of these scriptures as you keep hearing them again and again and again. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Look at this. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and had broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments containing ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, that is Jew and Gentile. No segregation again. All of you together are one in Christ. Continue verse 16. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Romans 8:15 to 17. Final scripture before we go to number 3. It says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Anything that makes you afraid at any time as a child of God is trying to assassinate your understanding of your identity in Christ. Anytime you ever entertain fear, there is a threat to the image that you have of your identity in Christ. Let's read the scripture. For you have not received the spirit of bondage to fear. Are you putting the scripture for us? I hope there's no identity crisis going on there. But you received the spirit of adoption. Somebody say the spirit of adoption. Do you know what adoption is? You and your husband, you go to an orphanage home, choose somebody, and then sign paperwork. And from today, that person answers your name. Everything you have belongs to that person. That person becomes an heir. Maybe a young lady got pregnant out of wedlock, gave birth, threw the baby away and left. And the baby has had a nasty upbringing, you know, all through infancy and being a toddler. But now, that all that horrible past comes to an end because they have been adopted. So they take the position of a child. The Bible says we have received the spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father. Next verse. And if children, please, it says the spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Verse 17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And what? Joint heirs. Has it ever occurred to you that Jesus is not just your Lord alone, he's your brother? The Bible says, for which cause he was not ashamed to call them brethren. Oh God. Do you know it puts you in a class with God? It doesn't make you equal to Jesus, but it makes you equal in Jesus. Joint heirs with Christ. When Jesus stood before the grave of Lazarus, what did he say? Father, I thank you because I know you hear me. With boldness. As if God was owing him the answer. You too, as a child of God, you can stand before God and say, Father, thank you because today is the day you have made. And I will rejoice and be glad in it. That when men say there is a casting down, I will say exaltation has come. Why? Because the God who performs all things for me is my Father. Jesus is my brother. I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. You traveled somewhere and you remember the Bible says the earth is the Lord's. Okay? Who is the child of the Lord? I am. So if the earth is the Lord's, it means that the earth in that city belongs to me. So you go from looking from a job to calling forth a job. Let me not go ahead of myself. Resolves the individual problems of identity crisis. Number three, understanding the message of redemption helps in the following. Number three, it helps in providing better understanding and appreciation of the salvation experience. Better understanding and appreciation of the salvation experience. Better understanding and appreciation of the salvation experience. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14 to 21. You have a better understanding of what it means to be saved because you understand the message of redemption. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. Verse 15. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. So in Christ Jesus, just keep this scripture. Because you understand the message of redemption in Christ, you don't judge people by what you see. Henceforth, know we no man according to the flesh. That's the problem with many Christians. That's why I know many Christians are not mature. When you relate with people based on how they look, and you are not able to discern their value first as a child of God, and then by the heritage that they have in Christ, it means you lack the understanding of the redemption message. Because the experience of salvation has restored the value, the complete eternal value of that individual. It says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, this is the ministry of reconciliation, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. 21 and the last, let's read 1, 2, 3. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become. So who are you? Say it like you have brain. Who are you? These are the contents of the I Am confession we make. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. That makes the salvation experience lovely. It's more than just Lord Jesus coming to my heart. No. He made him who was without sin to be sin, that we will become the righteous. Oh God. You understand what it means? The very expression of God's righteousness is you and I. Not righteousness because of what you have done, but righteousness which is the free gift of God, which is eternal life. Such a glorious thing to become an image and a representative of God. Galatians 2:20. It says, "For I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Listen to this. God's greatest gift to man is his presence. The story of redemption is the restoration of that presence to mankind as eternal life. This is what is known as the salvation experience. The restoration of the presence of God to mankind as eternal life is what we call salvation. So what is your salvation experience? That you have been saved and the life of God has been restored into you by redemption. Somebody say amen to that. Are you glad to be redeemed? Beat your chest and say, "I am the redeemed of the Lord." Amen. Say it with confidence. "I am the redeemed of the Lord." As we wrap up, what have we been redeemed from? Now that we understand the message of redemption, what have we been redeemed from? Number one, we have been redeemed from sin. Somebody say sin. Those days in Sunday school, children's Sunday school, they told us sin means sin, Satan's inner nature. S-I-N. Satan's inner. I don't know if there's an outward nature. Sin. What have you been redeemed from? Number one, sin. Romans 6 verse 6 to 8. You have been redeemed from sin. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin, might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of what? Of sin. Let's read on. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. This is the meaning of this scripture. That when Jesus died, God incorporated your salvation in the redemptive work of Jesus on the cross. How? When Jesus died, it was assumed that you died with him. What died in you? Sin. And when Jesus resurrected, you now live a new life by that resurrection, free from the power of sin. And the Bible says when a man dies, he has been freed from sin, because the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:28. Sin leads you to death. Sin activates the law of death. Of course, death being separation from God and eventual extinction. A life of constant deterioration until eventual extinction. But when Jesus died, you were incorporated in his death, and the power and the nature of sin was dealt with. That means that sin no longer has a power over you, and you have been freed from sin. Why then do you now go to God in prayer? And when you are leading prayer in your prayer band, after Thanksgiving, you now tell them, "Let's begin to confess our sins before the Lord." You know, the Bible says the prayer of a sinner is an abomination unto God. All of us have sinned. We are sinners. Now lie. Now only you. Now only you. Now only you. Now only. Yes, sir. Anytime you hear somebody praying that, tell them, "Sorry, minus me." Or for the love of God, just allow the prayer to continue. For you, you can say, "Father, thank you because I am the righteousness of Christ in of God in Christ Jesus. I thank you because you have given to us redemption, which is the forgiveness of sins." Are you hearing what I'm saying? You have been freed from sin. You are not a sinner, except you are not born again. No? If you have not been born again, if you have not publicly confessed Jesus as your Lord, you may want to pray that prayer. Amen. Sin no longer has a hold on you. Let's read that verse 6 again. He says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. This body carries in it the nature of sin, because it is conscious of the world. And the Bible says, through one man, sin entered into the world. Romans chapter 5. But now, because of redemption in Christ Jesus, this body, you are no longer a slave to it. You now have rule and power over it. You have been freed from its grip. And so you are no longer a slave. And that means you can approach God with boldness. That means that sin has no hold over you. That means that walking in, which we'll talk about next week, becomes possible. Walking in sanctification, walking in holiness, because you are no longer a slave. That's different from an unbeliever. The reason why you will always find them falling in and out of sin is because even though you are sharing the same name, they are still ruled by the nature of sin. You have been given dominion over it. Somebody hit your chest and say, I am no longer a slave of sin. Romans 8 verse 1 to 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has what? Set me free from the law of sin and death. What have we been redeemed from? Number 2, Satan. We have been redeemed from Satan. Satan is the enemy, the adversary. Of course, we just read Psalms 107 and verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. We have been redeemed from Satan. We have been redeemed from Satan. We have been redeemed from Satan. There's no reason for you to be afraid of Satan. He no longer has power over you. You have been redeemed from his control. The Bible says in Colossians 1:13, it says, who has delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us to the kingdom of the Son of his love. So the next time they mention Satan in a prayer, your heart should not skip. You are no longer under him. He should be afraid of you because of what you stand to exercise in Christ Jesus. Somebody say amen to that. Number 3, we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13. We read it. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone who hangs on the tree. The curse that comes with not keeping the law, we have been redeemed from it. Jesus took on himself those curses so that you can live a blessed life. Somebody say amen to that. What have we been redeemed from? Number 4, we have been redeemed from the earth. We have been redeemed from the earth and amongst men. We have been redeemed from the earth. I hope you know, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 17, that the world and all that is in it passeth away. You don't want to be part of something that will eventually get into extinction. That's why God has redeemed you. You have been redeemed from the earth. You have been redeemed from amongst men. Revelations 5 verse 9. The Bible says it. We read it there. He redeemed us from every tribe and every tongue and nation and kindred. Revelations 14 and verse 4. You put that scripture for us. 14 and verse 4. We'll read that one. We have been redeemed from the earth. So the earth will be destroyed, but you will be preserved because you have been redeemed. It says, these were redeemed from amongst men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. Number 5, we have been redeemed from sickness and affliction. We have been redeemed from sickness and affliction. Psalms 103 verse 3 to 4, who forgives your iniquities and heals all your disease. Why does he put sin or iniquity and disease in the same verse? Because sickness came in because of sin. But we have been redeemed from sickness and affliction. Verse 4 of Psalms 103. Who redeems your life from destruction and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Exodus 15, oh, I love these scriptures. Exodus 15, verse 26b. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus 23, verse 25. He say, and I will take away the disease. You shall serve the Lord your God and he shall bless your bread and water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Have you seen that scripture before? I will take sickness from the midst of you. Isaiah 53 verse 4 to 5. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow. And we esteemed him stricken by the Lord. He says, but he was wounded, verse 5, for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. You think this is even good? The better rendition is 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24. It says, by whose stripes ye were healed. Past tense. Next time you see fever on your body, remember this scripture. By whose stripes you were healed. Past tense. Before you command anything, you must know what you are commanding first. Abi? You have been redeemed from sickness and affliction. Never entertain a sick life. I understand you can be taking drugs and all of that, but you need fundamental teachings like this to renew your mind as to divine health. Somebody can even sow a seed that they want to live healthy. They are sowing a seed to live healthy. It's all right. And the seed will still work because that's the revelation you have. You are sowing a seed for something God gave you as a nature in Christ Jesus. By his stripes, ye were healed. Keep your seed for something better and take your healing. It's not even healing God wants to give you. He wants to give you long life. He says, with long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. Let me prophesy to you. No devil from hell will cut you short before your time. Any biological sickness, genetical infractions in your body dies from today in the name of Jesus. Any sickness that is inherited in the bloodline, there is diabetes, there is hepatitis, there is hypertension, it has come to your auntie, it has come to your uncle, your brother now has it, and they are waiting for when it will come to you. I declare that you are exempted forever. You are exempted forever. Your body is free from sickness. Your body is free from affliction. In the name of Jesus. Never accept to live a weak life. Are you hearing me? There was a time as an apostle, I was always sick. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes, sir. Did everything possible. They even prayed on me. Then one day I was lying down on my bed and I was just looking at my table. And I saw the Bible there open. I said, wait, I've done everything I know about this thing. And then sickness keeps coming back again and again. What is the secret to living in divine health? Can't I live uninterrupted? Must I always have needles come on me? One time I was even, they did a scan. They were troubled. They were quarreling. I don't know what it was, gastritis or something. The consultant looked at me and said, you will never be able to fast again. Sorry, sir. That was 5 years ago. I think I'm fasting now more than that time. And I dug out every scripture that spoke about healing and divine health. I know I'm the one preaching it, but now the preacher needs to be preached to. You know, that's the problem that pastors have sometimes. They know the word, but not for themselves. They know for people. There are times when you need to face it to yourself. I brought out scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. I can give you healing scriptures in almost every book now, off head. Maybe in Utah Flame, I'll do recitation. Anybody that wins me, you collect prize. Not the one I crammed when I was small, no. The one I needed for survival. And I stood on those scriptures. I've never had to miss any service because I'm sick. My only sickness is stress. Even my doctor, ask her, she will tell you. You always say, Apostle, rest. That's all. Can I tell you something? For a very long time, I never used painkillers. You know painkillers? Paracetamol, Panadol. One time I was very stressed and I had a fever and all. When the doctor came, part of what they recommended was paracetamol. I don't even know when last I took that one. They had to go and buy it. Headache. I know that when I sleep, it will just go. Why? By his stripes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you don't know these things, sickness will deal with you. Many of you come from families where everybody has one thing or the other. This one has hypertension. This one has blood pressure. This one has this one. This one has this. Everybody just have, as if it's suit that everybody's buying. Everybody has their own. Minus me. In my family, people have eye condition. In my own family, biologically, eye condition. My grandfather, before he passed, he lived long, but he had fat goggles. Fat one. Thick one that you with normal eye, you can't see through. My grandma who passed this year, 90 something, before she died, they had to remove one of her eyes. My dad had eye condition. My mom had been using eyeglass for God knows when. I remember one time my brother too had eye issues. And then my elder sister. Hey! I said, me, I will never use an eyeglass. And then there was a season the thing was trying to, I use water and wash the eye. I said, no eyeglass. It's not coming on this eye. By 80 years, I'll still be looking like Daddy Joe with eye. No eyeglass. As far as my life is concerned, I know I've been redeemed from affliction. So anything eye condition is settled. Well, the other children in the family, let them determine their own course. Me, I've charted my own by the word of God. I have been redeemed. We can share some name, but me, I have been redeemed. Do you know that you have been redeemed? That's how you take your portion in the kingdom. Be seated. Let's finish the teaching. Number 6. We have been redeemed from slavery. Slavery. Micah chapter 6 verse 4. We have been redeemed from slavery. As a child of God, you are not supposed to be a slave to anyone. In fact, in the New Testament, the Bible calls you the Lord's free man. It says, for I brought you up from the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of bondage. Never you allow a job keep you in bondage. Never you allow a relationship keep you in bondage. Never you allow even a marriage keep you in bondage. Never you allow anything around your life. Your status as a child of God is to live in freedom. Nothing should threaten that freedom. Never you allow social media keep you in bondage. Never you allow anything they call addiction keep you in bondage. You were redeemed to live a life of what? Freedom. Never you allow your phone to keep you in bondage. Never you allow a family curse to keep you in bondage. Never you allow poverty to keep you in bondage, son. I have come that they may have life and have it more in abundance. Number 7, we have been redeemed from fear. We have been redeemed from fear. Hebrews 2, 14 to 15. Hebrews 2, 14 to 15. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Verse 15. And release those from who through fear of death. It didn't say who through death. Who through fear. So according to scripture, the fear of death is worse off than death itself. And to release those who through fear of death were what? Subject to bondage. All their lives. You have been redeemed from fear. Many of you can be afraid about, and even mosquito makes you fear. Even cockroach, they don't come. Even rat, cat, bat, lizard. Don't travel to China, Bidato. Don't go to a Chinese restaurant because that's part of their delicacy. They serve you lizard. Just think about the things many of us are afraid of. You are afraid of height. I heard of someone who is afraid of aeroplane, you know, flying in the air. So all their life, they are subject to the bondage of traveling by road, Nigerian road. Do you know Nigerian road? Somebody told me one time when she was on board a flight, that as they were taking off, an elderly man behind started shouting, "Hey, go follow, my children." And then they discovered the man was, it was his first time flying. You know, he came from the village to see his children, and then they put him on, "Let's just give our father a treat," and they put him on the flight. Hallelujah. Some of you are afraid of poverty. Some of you are afraid of failure. You fear failure so much that it happens always. Job said, "What the thing I fear the most has come upon me." You fear so much. Exam, you are already beating. Eh? In fact, there are some students who do group reading during exam. Not really because of the advantage of group discussion, but because they are afraid that if they read alone, they'll fail. They don't believe that they know. So let me be around people that are reading. Those days in MPH, in Unimed, some people are going to class to read and they'll carry pure water in a bag, carry biscuit, carry gala, carry, are you going to read or eat? Carry what again? Sweet and flask and all. When you go there by 1 a.m., they are sound sleep. Then somehow by 2 or 3 a.m., the person will wake up and pack their books and go to the hostel. And then the people in the hostel, what would they call them? We shall know on judgment day. It's on the board. We shall know on that board. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's fear. Fear. Especially in our world today, fear. Many people are afraid. Some of you are sitting on your ministry and you have not started anything because you are afraid. Some of you are sitting on your destiny because you are afraid. Some of you, God is about to remove the ministry assigned to you to give me, because for the last 3 years you have refused to move. And I will collect it because I'm not afraid. When we started this ministry, this what we are doing was, it was not popular. Youth of Flame is coming. Don't worry, you will see what God will do in that conference. Many people are afraid of doing new things because nobody has done it. You have been redeemed from fear. Go back to your business and inject that new idea. The worst is, the highest is, or the lowest is that you fail. The highest is you succeed. Somebody like me who is a man of faith, I gamble with it. I stay with the highest. They ask Archbishop Idaosa, "What if it does not work?" He said, "What if it works? It's 50-50. So let me stand on the other 50. Fear. Somebody said, "I've been redeemed from fear." 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us the spirit of timidity and fear, but of love, power, and of sound mind. Romans 8:15-16. "For you did not receive the spirit of adoption, or spirit of bondage to fear, but the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba Father. Now that you are redeemed." What is your new life now that you are redeemed? Or what does it mean? Or what kind of life will you live? Or what are the implications of being redeemed? You can put it like that. Now that you are redeemed, number one, you are saved. Now that you are redeemed, you are saved. Your eternal value has been restored. Number two, now that you are redeemed, you will be glorified. Your eternal destination is secured. You will be glorified. Romans 8:30. "Those that he predestined, them he called. Those that he called, them he justified. Those he justified, them he glorified." He even says in verse 17, he says, "If we suffer with him, we shall be we shall be glorified together with him. When the Bible speaks of being glorified, it means the perfection of God's purpose on your life. The end of the process, whatever it is God takes you through. And the Bible says that though your beginning you're small, yet your latter end shall greatly increase. Now that you are redeemed, you will be glorified. 1 John 3 verse 2 says, for we shall be as he is when we see him. Number 3, now that you are redeemed, you have been set free. Somebody say, I've been set free. You have been set free. Romans 8 verse 2, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. You have been set free. You have been set free. Somebody say, I've been set free. Let me tell you something. These things I'm saying look basics, but in deliverance, it is on this basis that you can command deliverance and command demons to go. I have been set free. Therefore, Satan has no hold. No devil has. Listen, deliverance for a believer with this mentality is simply enforcing your legal right in Christ. Satan has no right to keep you bound. Of course, Satan is an illegal creature. You know, as Satan, he's illegal. God created him Lucifer. As Lucifer, he's a legal entity. But when he fell and became Satan, he's illegal as far as the plan of God is concerned. And because of that, he doesn't play by the rules. So he knows it's your own in Christ, but he will keep it from you. He knows that you have been redeemed in Christ, but he will want to put the family curse on you. That is why knowing that you are set free is the understanding needed to command deliverance and to break the hold of the enemy. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he had redeemed from the enemy. What kind of curse? What kind of sin? What kind of satanic stronghold? What kind of witchcraft can keep you bound? Did the Bible not say whatever is born of God overcomes the world? Now that you are free, now that you have been redeemed, you have been set free. Romans 8 verse 2, Colossians 1 13. Number 4, your right of sonship is given you. Your right of sonship is given you. Given, spelled G-I-V-E-N. Your right of sonship is given you. Now that you are redeemed, you have been given your right of sonship. John chapter 1 verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. Let me explain what the right of sonship means. Briefly. It means four things. The right of sonship to a believer means four things. Number one, it means you have access to the Father God. It means you have access to the Father God. That is the basis for prayer and for answered prayer. You have access. You can talk to God any day, anytime, anywhere about anything. Number two, the right of sonship means recipients of the Spirit. You have received the Spirit of God. Number three, the right of sonship means you are a recipient of the faith of the Son of God. Recipient of the faith of the Son of God. I wish I had time to explain what I mean by the faith of the Son of God. Because when you become saved, God gives you another faith, not the faith by which you are saved. Hello? Did I hit your head a little bit? When you are saved, is your natural faith as a human being that you use to get salvation? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, for with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now that you are saved, there is another faith imparted on you. It's called the God kind of faith. Mark chapter 11, 22. It says, have faith in God or have the God kind of faith. Galatians 2 verse 20. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God. Do you know that the faith in Hebrews 11 is different from the faith in Hebrews chapter 12? Why did I enter this one? Amen. But I wish you can just know these things and mature. Hebrews 11. Hebrews Hebrews 11 faith is different from Hebrews chapter 12. Because in Hebrews 11 verse 40, what did he say? He said, these all died. Do you get that verse for us? Okay, get to verse 39. Verse 39. We'll read 39 and 40. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. He said, God, having provided something better for us. And we are talking about Abraham, Moses, Isaac, Jacob, all of these great men who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, and all that they did with their faith. But that was not a faith that they got because they were born again. Yet, when we are born again, the Bible says, we, God has provided something better. There is an upgrade to our faith that makes it different from their faith, that gives it greater quality and value. That's why Hebrews 11 verse 40, he said, God having provided something better for us. Go and read verse 1 of chapter 12. He says, therefore, as we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth easily beset, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Verse 2, the author and finisher of what? Do you think the faith that Jesus brings to us is the faith of Abraham? He's the author. All of them existed before him in the Old Testament. It's called the faith of the Son of God. That's the faith Jesus was telling the disciples to have in Mark chapter 11. How could he cause a tree and the tree just die? Nobody could do that. Jesus said, if you want to do it, you need to have faith in God. The original rendition as written in Greek is have the God kind of faith. In other words, you will try. That's why they every time they came to Jesus, they say, why couldn't we cast out this demon? Jesus said, because of your unbelief. He knew that there was a faith problem, because prior to when they would become born again, the faith they had was the natural human faith that existed in a human being who was already fallen by sin. But upon redemption, God imparts upon you another faith. Romans chapter 12 verse 3. According as God has dealt to every one of us a measure of faith. Let me leave you there. I'll come back to it next week. You want faith for the supernatural? You need to operate by the faith of the Son of God, which you have when you are born again. Somebody say amen. This is a house of understanding, no? So the right of sonship is recipient of the faith of the Son of God. And number four, recipients of eternal life. Number five, finally, as we pray, now that you are redeemed, your dominion in life is assured. Your dominion in life is assured. Romans 5:17. Your dominion in life is assured. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness would what? Reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Your dominion is assured now that you are redeemed. How many of you are ready to step into a life of dominion? A life that is without fear. A life that is without fear. A life with grace, with power, with boldness, with strength. Dominion is your heritage as a believer. Dominion does not mean you are not humble, no. Dominion means you are in control over situations and circumstances. Dominion means you are unmovable. They that trust in the Lord shall be like Mount Zion. We can never be moved. Some of you can be moved by 100,000 naira problem. Say amen. Okay, you deny me. All right. Make sure when that problem arrives, don't come here for prayers. Because I'll remind you, when I say you should say amen, I did refuse. Some of you went, yeah, 500,000. Nothing they fear me. Nothing they fear me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Nothing. He that is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory of them that overcomes, even our faith. Faith is not a risk, it's the victory. It's not a risk. When you start out and walk by faith, people think you are crazy until you produce results. Then they run and follow you. So, and me, I've the way I live my life, I don't depend on anybody. It's been like that for years. You promise me, I used to forget the next day. Because in the past, people have done things to me that made me not believe the promise of men. But how much of you living a life of dominion over sin, over Satan, over death, over hell, over the grave, over demons, over the grave? You can shut the mouth of the grave. September is coming and they call it Mbamunt. You can speak to death and say, me and my household, do not come close. Something happened yesterday and we're just joking in the car with Papa. I've told you that any vehicle I enter will never have accident and will never hit or be hit by anybody. Abby? So yesterday we had two vehicles while we're going to the site before coming here in the morning. So we changed the drivers and then the smaller one was in front. I was in the SUV with Papa. And when we got to a traffic light, you know these bicycle people here now, and then our brother in front hit the person and the person fell down. So when we're coming back in the evening, the person who drove that car was now driving the one we're driving in. And then I told Papa, I said, Daddy, do you know why that accident happened? He said, why? I said, Daddy, I used to tell them that any car I enter will not hit anybody or not be hit by anybody. The reason why he hit somebody was not because he was not careful, it was because his immunity was not there. Who was his immunity? Me. Stand on your feet, let's pray. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. Sing it if you believe it. I'm no longer
a slave to fear.
I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
Let's sing the verse. From my mother's womb, saved.
From my mother's womb,
you have chosen me. Your blood flows through my veins.
Your blood flows through my veins.
Voice and declare it. Say, I'm no longer
a slave.
I am a child of God. One more time. Prophesy to yourself. No longer, somebody say, I've been redeemed. You don't say it like you understand it. Say, I have been redeemed. You have been redeemed from sin, from the curse, from Satan, from slavery. You have been redeemed from every form of bondage. That's the answer to satanic attack. As simple as one statement, I am redeemed. That's how you answer a nightmare. When you wake up, the devil wants to push you to pray and say, attack. You better learn how to handle the devil by understanding. Not every attack should be responded with aggression. Sometimes respond with authority. Both of them, it starts with the letter A, but one is bigger. Aggression is different from authority. Are you hearing what I'm saying? One time, after worker service here, I was praying deliverance for a woman here. Very violent spirit, but it must come out. You know, I always laugh when I see the devil manifesting. And when I went back home, the sound that she was making under that devil, as I entered my bedroom, I heard that sound from the walls. That you say demons have followed you there. I opened the window. I said, they're born unaware. Enter here. Then the part two of Jacob and the angel will happen here. And you know, I was supposed to pray that night. I didn't pray. I went to sleep. You know why? I know I'm redeemed. In fact, in my opinion, before God even allows the devil any allowance in my life, he will consult with me. I've risen to that level of sonship. Yes, sir. I've risen there. Before the devil can just... If things are not working, I go back and find out why and how to make it work. Not you just wake up and say, oh, God is using the devil to try me. No, it's not always trial. Sometimes it's just waiting for you to exercise authority. I slept that night and nothing happened. And I sleep like that every time I cast out demon spirits or we have deliverance. Just to show the devil that I know that I'm redeemed and there's nothing he can do about it. And I've never had any attack like that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You wake up from a nightmare. Sit up and laugh and say, Satan, I am redeemed. Go back and sleep. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You are sleeping and then you see in your dream they are pursuing you. Masquerade, pursuing you. And then you can't run very fast. You are running slow. And the masquerade is closing in. It's because you are not supposed to run. Turn back and say, I am redeemed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And go to sleep. If you don't understand redemption, you will never walk in dominion. You will pray over things you should speak about or speak over. You will struggle with the devil when you are supposed to prevail over him. I have been redeemed. There's a plague and affliction around you. I am redeemed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He suffered no man to do them wrong. He rebuked kings for their sake, saying, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. It's not just because I'm anointed, sir. I know that I am redeemed. I know it. Leave the anointing one side. I am redeemed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's your heritage in Christ. That's the boldness you walk with. The next time the devil reminds you of your past, laugh, because you don't really have any past. For if any man be in Christ, he is a what? All things are. Pastor Dolapolawa shared a story about somebody who was casting out a spirit, and the spirit spoke back and said, you that committed masturbation, when? You would think that the guy ran away. The guy told the spirit, I'd say, yes, I did, but you must come out because it's not your business. It's between me and God. And the spirit came out. Some of you, the guilt will haunt you for 1 week. You will not even come for new matter. You will be staying at home. Say, hey, Holy Ghost, God forgive me. Wash me with the blood of your... You have washed with that blood tire. You have... Are you Mewanka? I will show you a scripture next week. It says you have been washed. But with your anointing, you are still praying and say, Lord, wash me. Even in 1 John, the Bible says, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us. It's a present continuous to mean an automatic experience. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you want to face life as a more than a conqueror and to walk in dominion, you must know that you are redeemed. Lift your voice in 2 minutes and thank the Lord for what you have heard. Father, we thank you. Blessed be your name. Glory to your name. Your life is changing from today. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Say, I am the redeemed of the Lord. Say, I am the redeemed of the Lord. Say it with conviction and with confidence. I am the redeemed of the Lord. Clap your hands for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me make an altar call before we go tonight. Everybody's standing. The only way to experience this life of redemption is to be born again. How can you be born again? you must confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. If you are here and you want to be born again, you want to receive the life of God and experience what redemption is, or maybe you've never made a public confession before, let me give you the opportunity to make that right now so you can be part of the family of God. Wherever you are, or you are rededicating your life, say after me, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I receive you into my heart and I confess you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. I am yours now and forever in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you made that prayer, please lift your right hand. Let me see you. I'd like to pray with you before you go. If you are here, you made that prayer sincerely. Lift your right hand. Hallelujah. 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 Please step forward. If your hands are lifted, step forward. Let's clap for them as they come. Those of you around them, please usher them to the front. Would you clap for the salvation of souls? Step forward quickly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I saw a hand at the back there. Huh? Hallelujah. You'll clap if you know what it means to be redeemed. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this one. Lift up your right hand. We thank you for this one. Lord, we have heard the message of redemption. We declare from today that she is born again, child of God, free from sin, Satan, death, hell, and the grave. Declare that she will live a victorious life to serve you all the days of our lives, going forward ever with you and never returning back to sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless the both of you. Thank you for making this wonderful decision. Look at me before you go. Two things you will do. Number one, I'd like you to return back next week. Hear teachings like this that will help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus. Number two, please turn to your left and you'll be directed to our counselors. They'll take your contacts, pray with you, follow up on your new faith. Let's clap for them as they go. Amen. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed at all? Was it worth it at all tonight?
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.